The next speaker is Maria Zunzengai. She did her PhD in epidemiology in the University of California. She's now a full professor at the University of Montreal, where she's an epidemiologist in public health. And her research is really in the areas of social epidemiology, gender, international health, and she has a number of ongoing projects in Latin America and the Caribbean, and also she's looking at the aging population in Canada as well. So, welcome.
Okay, thank you. Good morning. I would like to thank the organizers for inviting me, and I am planning to share with you my experiences during the last years conducting research on the elderly population in Latin America and the Caribbean. Well, I go back a little bit in my previous slide. I was, I was saying emerging economies, the emerging economies of Latin America and the Caribbean, because aging is a process that goes along with economic development. And aging is something that doesn't happen in the poorest countries of the world, but it happens in the middle-income countries. And all these countries where I'm going to talk to you about today have life expectancies over 70. So these are aging populations, and they are aging very rapidly in a background of infection. As you just listened to the previous talk, and you see that there are all kinds of parasitic, bacterial and viral diseases, and these people are survivors. They have gone through all this infectious background, and they have become elderly people. And now you can see that aging in this situation is not exactly the same as aging in North America or Europe. I'm going to explain you two research experiences that were funded by the Inter-American Development Bank and one research project funded by the Canadian Institutes of Health Research. I'll give you a brief summary of the research results, and I will try to answer to these questions: the evaluation of impact of research on health and social policy, is there any knowledge transfer, and have we been able to establish sustainable global health partnerships? See, I was just telling you background on Latin American aging. Life expectancies are high. Aging happens in situations of poverty, social and economic crisis. There is very little social protection, very insufficient pensions, important family roles. Family are essential since there is practically no social services. And you have to consider aging in these life course trajectories of early infection and prevalent chronic malnutrition in childhood, little education and unstable manual informal work in adulthood, and few and insufficient pensions in old age. These are the countries where we have been working on in these different studies I'm going to tell you about. So the first study was done in Chile, Uruguay, and Argentina. These are the wealthiest countries. Then you can see the second study that was conducted in the Caribbean: Bahamas, Jamaica, Barbados, Trinidad Tobago, Suriname, Guyana. And the last study, which was funded by the Canadian Institutes of Health Research, was done in most of these countries. I'll show you a little later. So this was the first study that was in the South Cone, and as you can see, it was sponsored by many organizations that were, in one way or another, they were implicated in this study. When we started the study, I was working in Spain in the Andalusian School of Public Health. And then I transferred to Montreal, and I finished the study here while I was working in the Department of Social and Preventive Medicine at the University of Montreal. The second one was Caribbean Aging Study from 2006 to 2008, and it was still a research study funded by the Inter-American Development Bank. I insist on this because the Inter-American Development Bank doesn't fund research. Usually they don't do that. But it just happened that there was a person in the Social Affairs Department that was interested in aging in Latin America because he considered that aging was a human right issue and also aging could be a basis for further economic development since aging populations have special needs and we have to develop sectors of the economy to satisfy the requirements of an aging population. So this person was key because he funded us for the first study and then he funded us for the second study. And these were open contexts. So that like when we won the second study, this was an open context, open to the Canadian universities. And this study, the Caribbean Aging Study, was funded by the Inter-American Development Fund Bank, but with Canadian money. So it was tagged for Canadian universities. See how this happened? Quite unusual. And all was based on one person. This is the last study of the Canadian Institute. And I'll give you some results. The first, I will call them research products because the scientific research, you can go and read them if you are interested. But what were the products of our research? First of all, a book. The book was called Más Vale Por Viejo. It's like it is worthy because it is old. Inter-American Development Bank. We also wrote the country reports, and we had three regional seminars in 2000 in Buenos Aires, Santiago, and Montevideo that were attended by the Health and Social Affairs ministries and different kinds of people with decision-making power. Then we also had a workshop in Washington on aging in Latin America and the Caribbean. And during all these workshops, we discussed policies for aging. The research products for the Caribbean Aging Study. We had country reports for each country. Then we had a regional seminar in Port of Spain in Trinidad in 2008. And a final report to the funding agency. And the research paper that is now in revision. Before going on, I can tell you that the person who sponsored, who was interested in doing this kind of research on aging in the Inter-American Development Bank, changed. The director of the, of the Inter-American Development Bank changed, and there was a restructure of the whole staff. So this person is now retired, and when we turned in the final report for the Caribbean Aging Study, there was no interest, not whatsoever, on this study. So now we wait to see if something goes on because we would like to have some knowledge transfer or some kind of continuity, but it is hard. Now I show you the results of the research project that we conducted on health differences in later life, a study of gender and social exclusion as determinants of health and functioning in the urban elderly populations in Latin America and the Caribbean. Well, this was more research, more basic public health research, and we produced a series of articles, 8 scientific articles, and a lot of presentations in Congress. So now I presented you the products of our research, and I would like to ask you the question that I ask myself. What is the impact of this research on health and social policy? Well, I have no way, no means to have a structured evaluation of research impact. That's one of the problems. I cannot answer this question. I don't have tools to evaluate what is the impact of this research. We need to carry out qualitative and quantitative analysis of these efforts. For example, I give you the example of Brazil. Brazil has taken important steps to face population aging. The impact of many kinds of research, or just purely political opportunity, because Lula thinks that families are important, and Lula has put a lot of effort to develop family protection measures. And one of these measures is pension for every elderly person. So now in Brazil, they have every elderly person has a pension, and this is very important for successful aging. But is this the impact of our research? I don't think so. So I have this question for you. The second one is Chile. Chile has the worst health outcomes. The worst health outcomes. It's unbelievable. See, in the first study in 2000, we compared the health outcomes of the elderly population of Chile to the health outcomes of the Argentinian and Uruguayan. Chile should have the best outcomes because the public health system in Chile has been working since the 19th century, and in 1952, the Chilean government had a national health system established, and infant mortality fell in Chile much faster and earlier than infant mortality in the other Latin American countries. But what happened? When we did our study in 2000, Chilean elderly people had been 30 years under Pinochet, the privatization of the health system, and the complete destruction of the public health system that was starting to be recovered in the 1990s, at the end of the 1990s. So no wonder that when we compare the Chilean population with the others, we can see that they are in very bad shape. But what can we say? What is the impact of our research? There is an institute in Chile of the United Nations population, the ECLAC, which publishes a lot of papers on the need for social protection as a human rights issue. But what is really changing the story is that the World Bank has recognized the errors of the structural adjustment policies. And now we are talking again about the needs of having universal social protection instead of having poverty safety nets. Now, what about knowledge transfer? I have to tell you my story. It's very little story, but we have published all these papers on gender, health, and aging. But when we write gender, health, and aging in PubMed, only one of our papers can be recovered. I ask why this happens. Well, because in the title of most of our papers, we have written Latin America and the Caribbean. And if we think that our research on gender, health, and aging, which is basically to try to explain the differences of why women are sicker, but they live longer, and men die very early. Well, this research has universal value. It's important for Canadians and for Europeans, but it is practically impossible to find it in PubMed if you put the keywords gender, health, and aging. And this, when I discovered this, I think I'm going to write to the editors of the journals, and I'm going to tell them, can you verify what I am telling you is true and try to fix it? So now, for instance, we are also teaching courses. That's good. We are now teaching a course. Next week we are going to be in Colombia and we are going to teach a course on social gerontology. And people coming to this course are teachers of social gerontology in different universities. This is very important, I think. Research training. Okay, we have a small pilot grant now. And I think this is also opportunity for transfer, for knowledge transfer, because we work with people in Brazil and in Cameroon, and we are training them how to do research by developing protocols together. So we start developing the protocols, the measurement protocols, and we do that together from the beginning to the end. I think this is going to be a good experience. And finally, when we talk about research exchange, that's really hard. That's really hard because our colleagues in poor countries or middle-income countries, they work on three or four jobs to make up a living. So they are professors in the university, they have private practice, they also may have a store, like a supermarket, and they have a family business, so they have to help their father or their mother to have a small shop somewhere. So when you look at them, you cannot tell them to close up their business and come to Montreal for 1 month to do research to be published in the International Journal of Epidemiology, because they have to close everything. It's not possible for them. So we find that this idea of bringing them here is not impossible, but it is very difficult. And so we think it is mainly, for us it has been better to go there and to spend some sabbatical time over there, some months, 2, 3, 4 months. This is what we are trying to do now. This is just the list of papers. I just don't want to give you my CV, but you can see the papers are Journal of Gerontology, Social Science and Medicine, Preventive Medicine, Aging Mental Health, Journal of Aging and Health. These are journals where we publish in gerontology. So it's something that's strange. And finally, about sustainable global health partnerships, you can see we have limited success in the BAF projects. We have to face that there are changes in leadership. Some contacts remain, but they are mainly personal, and how to go from individual exchange to long-term partnership. That is the big issue. We establish, because of confidence, we have trust now. After many years of working with them, we have trust from them. As the previous speaker says, trust is the first thing. But now we need to have continuing support resources to continue working, because we don't have this. So I was putting this, how to establish long-term confidence relationship. How to establish long-term trust relationship? Well, we need to have a long-term enterprise. We have a lot of patients, first of all. Seize opportunities when available, and sincere collaboration among these researchers. And I don't know if these are possible suggestions. These, I think, are my questions. I don't have any answers for this. Thank you. Thank you.
Okay, so for the final speaker of this session is Dr. Duncan Pedersen, who is the Scientific Director of International Programs at the Douglas Hospital here at McGill University. He's also Director of a WHO Collaboration Research Center for Training in Mental Health. He's a physician by training in public health and also in medical anthropology. Dr. Pedersen is very well respected in Latin America. He's been working in Latin America in mental health issues for many years, and has been involved in some very important projects down there. And in fact, this is the first time I met Duncan, was in Lima, Peru, where I was also doing some work in leishmaniasis, and Duncan and I were actually at a dinner together at the same table and introduced one another and found out we were both from Montreal and McGill University. So. And Duncan was working, there was an earthquake in Paracas, which you may recall a couple years ago, and that caused a lot of social upheaval, and Duncan was there to study the effects of that earthquake. So he's done some really wonderful work and is really extremely well respected in Latin America. So it's a pleasure for me to be able to introduce Duncan.